Okay, there we go, front and center. I was just thinking as Seth was being installed, what a blessing it is to be on a staff where, Tim and Seth and Jeremy and I, where we really gel and we get along. And each of us, when we're down there, we're not just isolated in our different areas with our different parts of ministry that we're in charge over, but we're doing, each of us, once a week, as much as we can, we get together, we do prayer and accountability together, and we pray for each other, and we pray for each other's different areas. And that's an enormous blessing to be at a church that has that. And hopefully that shows, as you see the staff, not set apart in their different areas, but working together as a team. So Seth, very glad to have you. And he holds down a very important area, as I know, as I have my own three small children, that's a massive area of trust that parents give to their kids. And so I'm really glad to have a guy in charge of it, who's pretty type A. That makes me happy, and see the good changes that are happening there already. Well, this is our annual Sumter meeting, of course, and for those of you who don't know me, my name is Seth Gein. I am our Associate Pastor of Discipleship here, and a warm welcome to all of you, especially to those of you who are new or even newer to the church, maybe in the last year. If that is you, and you've been here for a year or less, then we have something in common, because this is also my first Sumter meeting, so we can all enjoy a new experience together. Well, as I was getting ready for today, I was thinking to myself, this is Sumter Sunday, and nobody wants to listen to you for 40 minutes straight, so you're going to have to come up with something different. So I went through the Bible, and I thought, what's a good story? What's one of my favorite stories in Scripture? And I thought back, through the Old Testament, and the story that came to mind is the story of Jehoshaphat. Not just because he has a funny name, but because he was a good king. He was a godly king. He was the king of Judah. And I especially love the story when Jehoshaphat has to lead all of Judah out against the armies of Moab, the Moabites and the Ammonites. And so what we're going to go through today is we're going to read through that story together. And I really appreciate it, not just because of what it teaches us, but because what it teaches us is, I think, directly applicable to where we are as a church family. And when I say that, what I mean is where we are in our history at Community Bible Church. But first, we're going to have to go through the story, and I'm not going to just read it to you. We're going to need some help. So I'm going to have Seth Guthrie and Jeremy Wissink and Tim all come up here. Basically, we'll have the whole pastoral staff, except for Chuck, who's getting a little old for this type of stuff, so, Let's get the cool, hip, younger guys up here. But he's wise. He's so wise. All right, and what we're going to do is, let me grab these over here. We're going to involve all the kids here. So let me have all kids who are normally in Sunday school or children's church, come on down and head to that side of the stage. Seth, here you go. That one's yours. Yeah, there's a 10. And I'm going to back up here so we can give them some space. So everyone, come on down. Come on up on the stage. All right, good. Where are my kiddos? Coming down? Hey. You gotta love kids. All right, we'll let them all get up here on the stage. Maple might try to participate. We'll see how this goes. All right, and we're going to divvy them up, and we're going to give each person a different role here. We have not rehearsed this a single time, not with the kids, so this will likely be controlled chaos. We're also going to give them noisemakers, so we'll see how this goes. All right, we decided, with Seth being installed, it's best to make him the good guy and not the bad guy this time, so he will be playing the role of King Jehoshaphat. So let's give him a hand for the good guys for Judah. And let's just have, Judah's smaller than the Moabite and Ammonite army, so let's have maybe about right here over go with Seth. There you go, perfect. There you go. The army's growing. They know what's going to happen. They're smart about this. It's because they're like on Sunday. We follow this guy every week, so I guess we do it again. Okay. So over here, we have
Judah.
And we've got Jeremy, who's going to play the role of the Holy Spirit-inspired prophet who tells Jehoshaphat what to do. And then over here, we have Tim playing the bad guy, which will fit the role very nicely. This is the Moabite and Ammonite army. So let's give them a boo and a hiss, because they are the bad guys. Boo, hiss. There we go. All right, everybody's got their noisemakers. Good. So here's how this is going to work. I'm actually going to read the story. I will play the role of the narrator, and I'm going to read through the story. And these guys have their own script, so they'll jump in where they need to. And this is coming directly from the text. I've changed a couple things to make it a little easier on the kids. I'm sure you'll recognize where we did that. But we'll read through it. We'll let the kids have fun. We'll let them fall down. We'll steal noisemakers from each other, and then they can sit down, and we'll get serious again. Moabites, Ammonites, you guys, you good? All right. Jehoshaphat, Judah, Jehaziel, you guys good? All right, here we go. This is from 2 Chronicles 20. After this, the armies of the Moabites, Ammonites, and some of the... You got your script? There you go, good. The Moabites, the Ammonites, and some of the Mennonites declared war on Jehoshaphat.
Oh, he does it?
Messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army from Edom is marching against you from beyond the Dead Sea. They are already at En-Gedi. Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news and begged the Lord for guidance.
Oh, I need some guidance.
He ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting.
Hey, don't eat anything, nothing at all. Gotta fast.
No donuts, no nothing.
No matter how hungry you get.
So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. Jehoshaphat stood before the community of Judah and Jerusalem in front of the new courtyard at the temple, and he prayed.
O Lord, God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. You are ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty. No one can stand against you. O our God, did you not drive out those who lived in this land when your people Israel arrived? And did you not give this land forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? Your people settled here and built this temple to honor your name. They said, whenever we are faced with any calamity, such as war, plague, or famine, we can come to stand in your presence before this temple where your name is honored. We can cry out to you to save us, and you will hear us and rescue us. And now see what the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir are doing. You would not let our ancestors invade those nations when Israel left Egypt, so they went around them and did not destroy them. Now see how they reward us, for they have come to throw us out of your land, which you gave us as an inheritance. That's terrifying. Oh, our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do, but we are looking to you for help.
As all the men of Judah and women stood before the Lord with their little ones, wives, and children, the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there. His name was Jehaziel. He said,
listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march out against them. You will find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jeruel. But you will not even need to fight. Take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against him tomorrow, for the Lord is with you.
So early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said,
listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed.
After consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. So they blew their kazoos, and this is what they sang.
All right, repeat after me, ready? Give thanks to the Lord.
And thanks to the Lord.
His faithful love.
Faithful love.
Endures forever.
Endures forever.
I love the kazoos habit.
At the very moment they begin to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting amongst themselves.
The armies turn against their allies from Mount Seir. And after they had destroyed the army of Mount Seir, they begin turning against each other. Theon and Gussie, they turn against each other. All right. When the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, they saw that only three or four of the enemy was left standing. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. King Jehoshaphat and his men went out to gather the plunder. They found vast amounts of equipment, clothing, tiny trumpets, and other valuables, more than they could carry. Then all the people returned to Jerusalem with Jehoshaphat leading them, overjoyed that the Lord had given them victory over the enemies. They marched into Jerusalem to the music of harps, lyres, kazoos, and plastic trumpets, and they proceeded to the temple of the Lord, singing, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his love endures forever." Yay! When all the surrounding kingdoms heard that the Lord himself had fought against the enemies of Israel, the fear of God came over them. So Jehoshaphat's kingdom was at peace, for God had given him rest on every side. All right, let's give him a hand.
We're going to give some of the trumpets. We're going to give the trumpets back. They can keep the kazoos and stuff. We'll just give the, I think. Let's just head to the other side.
We'll sort it all out later. Who gets what? Which noisemakers? All right, guys. Head back to our seats. Good job. I don't want to hear a single kazoo or trumpet during this sermon. Not one. They will be returned. Good job. All right, let's give them one more round of applause. So like I mentioned, I really love that story because pretty much everything we read except for the embellishments with the instruments was almost straight from the text. And when you read that story, even if you're at home by yourself, it's almost a little funny, isn't it? Because you have Jehoshaphat and Judah, and they hear that the Moabites and the Ammonites are coming against them. And understandably, they're very frightened. And so they march out to meet the other army. And what do? You know, typically in front of their army, they would put their chariots, they'd put their cavalry, they'd put their biggest, fiercest soldiers. But these guys, when they march out, what do they put there? They put their band. They put their band. So can you imagine coming out against them and you have a bunch of people in robes playing musical instruments? And so it's almost a little funny, but they put their band there because it's a sign. And it's a sign of them saying to the Lord, "Father, we completely entrust ourselves to you to win this battle for us." And again, when we hear that, it's almost kind of funny, but we got to remember, It wasn't funny for them. Like verse 13 says, the men of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, wives, and children. So men in the audience, imagine if that was you, and you're standing before the Lord with all the other families in Judah, and you've got your wife over here, and you've got your children over here, and you're praying to God, and you're saying, "Lord, if you do not deliver us, then I'm going to die in battle. And my wife is going to be enslaved, and my children are going to become slaves, and they are going to grow up without a father. And so, God, you have to help us." Now, of course, as a church family, we're not facing life and death like Jehoshaphat and Judah was, but what can we learn from this story? How does it apply to us? Because everything in Scripture usually applies in one way or another. Well, what we can learn is that we too, as a church, can trust the Lord as he leads us into the future, into new places. We can trust God to guide us. And I think we need that because this past year has been a year of changes at Community Bible Church, hasn't it? There's been a lot of changes. We've had three new younger pastors come on staff. We've had a whole lot of new families join the church. And so to make room for them all, we've gone back to three services. We're going to put a much bigger emphasis on ministries such as fellowship groups. And you know what? There's probably going to be more changes to come in the future as well. When I think about that, I think, what does that mean? What is God telling us? And what I think it means is this, is that God is preparing this church for something. He's preparing us for something. And I don't know exactly what that something is, but I have such a strong feeling in my heart that God is going to use Community Bible Church, this church family, in a big way to accomplish His work in the areas of Omaha and Papillion and La Vista and Ralston. And what we need more than anything else as a church family is to have that almost childlike faith that Jehoshaphat and Judah had. Faith that God is going to continue to guide us into the future. Because even though we're not in the midst of a physical battle, we always have been, and we continue to be in the midst of a spiritual war. And so we need faith that as a church, God's going to take care of us. We need faith that whatever He has planned for this church, that He's going to work through all of us, not just the pastoral staff, not just the elders, not just the deacons, but He's going to work through all of us to accomplish the work that He has. And I think the result of that is that if we have that kind of faith, then what is going to happen is that Jesus' name is going to be glorified. And as people see Community Bible Church being used for God's purposes, then their eyes are going to turn to Jesus. And God's name, not Pastor Seth's name, not Pastor Chuck's name, but God's name is going to be glorified. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but that's the type of stuff that excites me. That is the type of journey that I want to be on. I don't want to just come to church every Sunday. I don't want to just do ministry. I want to be a part of a church family that's being used for God's purposes and that in faith are being willing to be used for God's purposes. I think that's the type of journey that we're on. And I say this with full honesty, that there's no other church body that I'd rather be on that journey with. So let me go ahead and pray for us. Father, I thank You for this morning. Lord, I thank You that we can have fun. I thank You for the kids coming up here and participating. Lord, I thank You that Scripture teaches us so much, but at the same time, it can be so enjoyable. Lord, I pray that as we read through stories like Jehoshaphat and Judah going out against the Moabites and Ammonites, that we would be able to put ourselves in the situation and realize that what they were facing is life and death. And what they were doing in response to that was entrusting themselves fully to God. And Father, as our church moves into the future that You have for us, whatever that may be, Lord, help us to entrust ourselves fully to You. Help us to not just be thinking of our individual wants and our individual needs and what we perceive as should be happening, but instead giving it over to You and saying, Lord, we're just Your humble servants. Use us as You want us to be used. I thank You for this church family, Lord, that we're not just people that live in the same city, but we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And that over the years, we're going to continue to grow closer and closer together and work together as a team so that we can be used by You. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.